Who are we, O Lord, to stand in your presence? But only because of your love, only because of your mercy, and only because of your grace. You call us this morning to fellowship. Speak to us, O God, that in the emptiness of our hearts, Lord, you will fill us. In the weaknesses of our bodies, you will strengthen us. And in the difficulties of life, you will encourage us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Bwana asifiwe. Such a joy to be back home. I will not stop saying this, just like I will not stop saying Happy New Year until the next one comes. Happy New Year. Such a joy to be back home. And every time I think about the journey that has happened over the last 7 or so years, I am grateful to God. I am thankful to God. And I praise the Lord because it is Him who gives us the opportunity and the grace. And for me, I thank God because He's given me many opportunities. And I don't want to say a lot of grace, but amazing grace at a very early age in my life. And therefore, I praise Him and I thank Him. Now that I never delivered the greetings I was given sometime in November from my pastor in Berlin, in Germany, I want to bring greetings from the Berlin International Community Church, from our pastor there. They said I passed their greetings to the church where I will be fellowshipping when I'm back home together with my family. Munazipokea. Amen. And my family as well, they are in Sunday school, so at some point I'm sure you'll be able to see them interacting with all of us here. Over and above, the Lord is Lord in my life. Christ is Lord. I'm born again this morning. He's given me strength. He's given me grace. And every day He has been reminding me that it is because of Him and not unto me, but unto Him do all praise and glory belong. This morning, I was asked to share with us in the light of a new year on new horizons. And as the year begins, it is a calendar year. It is not a new thing to most of us. As many years as you are old, I want to imagine as many as those years you have been having a new year at some point. And whether you accept it or not, seasons come and seasons go. And for some of us, it's not just a new year, it's a new season of life. It's a new season of family. It's a new season of work. It's a new season of ministry, of doing it unto the Lord and serving unto the Lord. And therefore, life presents us with many opportunities to start afresh. We take some, we miss others. We enjoy some, we mourn and begrudgingly take others. We celebrate some, we regret others. And today we want to look at a man who was starting afresh or starting again and is presented with new situations. This man is called Abram. Now my name has nothing to do with the choice of the passage. As much as we share that name. And Abram, when we meet him in Genesis chapter number 13, he has been called by God from the Ur of the Chaldeans, where they worshipped idols and the gods of their days. And there was, once they arrive in Canaan, in a place called Bethel, Abram sets up an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. But then comes a season where there is hunger, famine, as the Bible says, in chapter 12. And Abram and his nephew Lot, together with his wife Sarah, they move to Egypt. And they are in Egypt for some time. And as we enter in chapter number 13, Abram, the famine has since ended in Canaan, and Abram is setting back to go back to Canaan. And we are told that so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had. And an interesting detail is put there, and Lot went with them. Now, we have never been told in any part of Scripture why Abram chose to go with Lot. This was his nephew, the son of his brother. And we are not told why he chose to go with Lot wherever he went. But nonetheless, they went together. So they are on their way and their journey back to Canaan. Now, they had animals, they had servants, God had blessed them immensely. And he's coming from a foreign land and back to the land God had promised him. And all looks the same, but he must begin afresh. So first he goes back to Bethel, from Negev, verse number 3. From Negev he went place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier. Remember, I have just said they were there earlier. There Abram called on the name of the Lord, because he had built an altar. He had established a place of worship unto the Lord. Now Lot was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. So three things that we see here. First, he goes back to Bethel where he had earlier built an altar, and there he calls on the name of the Lord. But not long after, their wealth becomes so immense and they must part ways. So second thing that happens, because of a conflict between him and his nephew Lot and their herdsmen, they have to part ways. And the third thing that happens is that God gives him, after Lot has left, God gives him all the land and he moves his tent to a new place. So this morning I invite us to reflect on three things that we can learn from this story as we think about new horizons, as we think about what has God called us to do and to be for his glory. And it's particularly valuable as we start a new year, but even more as we enter into new seasons of our life. And the first thing that we see in this story is the question of identity. The question of who am I? Now, Abram, as we meet him, God has called him from his people and has told him, go to a land that I will show you. Now, God was calling him out and giving him a new identity. The identity that he had before was identity of, in verse 12, the identity that he had before was the identity of Terah, his father, and his people, his brothers, and his sisters. Was there a sister? I imagine there was, but only brothers are mentioned here. That was the identity he had as they worshiped the idols of their days. God calls him and tells him, come and I will bless you. What is this identity that he gives him? He says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make you into a great, in your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. In other words, his new identity is a blessing, is a joy, is a grace to the people that would interact with him. And I want to ask you this morning, who are you? What is the basis of your identity? Is it the God you serve, the God, the Lord of Lords, Christ and him alone, or is it the things around you? When you're stripped of all that you have and have become, who are you? And that's why when Abram arrived in Bethel, the first thing he did was to establish the space for affirming his identity. He built an altar, and we are told, and there he called on the name of the Lord. Because what occupies your time, your money, your treasure is what dictates your identity. If your identity is around money, you spend all your time thinking, worry, praying, crying about money. And even when you get that money, you still look for more. Because it tells you, unless you have more, your identity is incomplete. But when our identity is in Christ, then we seek more and grow more in Christ. Amen. What is your identity? Where is your identity based? Where is my identity based this morning? Is it an identity of a blessing? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone be in Christ, he has a new identity. He is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Identity. What is your identity this morning? Trouble comes when we want an identity that marries the old and the new. They call it hybrid. It can run on diesel and electricity. And many people are struggling to live a hybrid life. They want Christ and all of Christ, and they want the world, and sometimes all of the world. What is my identity this morning? Christ is calling us to be an identity of love, an identity of Christ-likeness, an identity of grace and peace in a society that is divided, an identity of blessing, and in Christ and Christ alone. Number two is association. The second thing we learn from this story is association. It matters who you walk with, talk with, and spend your time with. An eagle that constantly keeps the company of chickens will eventually become one. Association. The old adage goes, show me your friends and I will show you your destiny. And I will show you where you are headed. Abraham was called by God to go to a new land, but he took his nephew Lot along. Now, we are not told about the character of Lot, but the later scriptures will show us what kind of a man Lot was. Lot was family. And so, of course, somebody can say they were locked together. Hip and joint, as you will say. They were locked together and therefore they were meant to go together. But who was Lot? His true character emerges when they start conflicting. Remember, they've been hanging around from maybe when they were younger, you know, from the time they are leaving Ur, they go to Canaan, and we are not told how many years they spend in Canaan. They go to Egypt, we are also not told how many years they spent in Egypt. Then they come back again to Canaan. That's a long time they've been together. So they've made wealth together. They are not only family, maybe they are businessmen also. Because they had acquired wealth, they had acquired servants, they had acquired animals. But then a conflict arises. And it's not a conflict because of lack, it's a conflict because of abundance. They have reached, they have got there. You know when you say, now I have broken even. My business is at its best. Then a conflict arises. They start fighting for space. Our animals, our headsmen, their headsmen start fighting because there's not enough space to take care of their animals. They start conflicting and fighting over the things they have acquired. No longer are between, we are family. I am actually your uncle, you're my nephew. They start conflicting over the wealth and the things that they have acquired. Then Abraham tells Lot, why fight? We are brothers. Verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. And this is the first time we see the true character of Lot. Imagine. So Lot looks around and he remembers. Maybe he remembers the old nice time that he spent when they were there near Sodom. He looks at the place and sees this is dry. This upland is dry, is difficult. Watch Abraham, aende huko. Me, I'll go to the green watered places. Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. Now, if this is your best friend, your best business colleague, you know, your company partner, you have built from the days you had nothing, the days you walked, and then you tell him, let us split. And you know, company splits, just like mergers, take forever in court because of assets. And who goes with the best? Assets. And this guy chooses the best of what is available. What would you do? You would be disappointed. You would be like, I mean, I've been with you all this time. And all along you have been thinking, me, I deserve the worst, and you deserve the best. So Lot's character comes out. He's a man for himself. He's a man who just wants for himself, wants the fun of the world and the joys that comes with it. Lot chooses the best places, the green valleys, but near Sodom, where evil was set. His ways are those of Sodom, but he has some sense of fear, because the Bible says he moved and set his tent near Sodom. So he doesn't want to go fully into Sodom. And many people keep asking, how far is far? When does an appreciation become a bribe? I was just appreciating that government guy. I was just appreciating the cop. Oh, how many of us appreciate cops? The Bible tells us that he went and set the two men parted with company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tents near Sodom. Verse 12. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. His heart, having spent a time with blessing, his uncle was the blessing, the great the person who had been called by the great I am, sanctioned and set apart. Lot had never interacted without changing. He was just enjoying the company. And he goes, and when you know what happens later, when Abraham has to plead with God to save Lot, because the city was going to be destroyed. And many things happen later, even how Lot gets to advance his own generation. It's a long and sometimes a painful story. Who do you associate with? Are the people you associate with people who share the values that you esteem? Are the people you associate with people who draw you closer to God or farther from God? Are people you associate with people who are walking along the road of righteousness with all its difficulties? Friends, God's call and its fulfillment dictates that we choose whom we associate with. And some relationships are best when ended. I know that is difficult. But as you start a new season, as you think about a new season, you gotta think about who you associate with. Some of them are very nice and helping you move very fast, but towards a cliff. But you also got to choose associations of people that you can influence for godliness, because it is two ways. Am I influencing others towards godliness, or am I misleading them? Association. So Abraham and Lot part ways. And the third thing is a question of destiny. Identity, association, and destiny. God has a plan for your life and for my life. And destiny is a question of, where am I going? Am I going where God has actually called me? Or am I just going by myself? After Abraham and Lot separated, we are not told how many years later, how long later. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes. Wow, that's the best part. Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north. So I may assume this is my north. Look north. Look south. Look east. Look west. All the land that you see. I hope your scripture says the same way as mine says. For avoidance of confusion, I'm in verse 15. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Destiny. Destiny, I don't have better words to explain it. Because it is beyond where you are going. It is your God-given future. It is your God-given calling. It is your God-given purpose, without which your life remains just a run in the wild. So God tells Abraham, hey, you thought I was just, I mean, when you told Lot, I mean, remember what he told Lot. According to him was, Lot, if you go to the left, I will simply go to the right. And to the right as far as possible away from me, so that we don't conflict again. Because these are people who had thousands of camels, thousands of donkeys, thousands of all these animals and servants. They were almost like you could say nations. And therefore they needed great land. According to Abraham, maybe he just thought that all I need is just you go to the left, I go to the right, and there is peace between us. Abraham to lift his eyes to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south. As far as his eyes could see, I am giving you this land not only for you, but for your offspring. Verse 16, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. How long do you think it would have taken for Abraham to walk the length and the breadth of the land that you can see? Now, let me bring this picture a bit closer. So Lot went to the plains. So he actually went to the valleys. So Abraham went up to the mountains. So he was in a higher place. So he could see very far on every direction. How long do you think it would have taken Abraham to walk the length? But what does God tell him? Go. Possess it. Take it. It's yours. Why? Because God's plan for you and I is bigger and better than our best conceived plans. Abraham just wanted to the remainder of what Lot chose, but God had given him everything. Now, Think about it. When they stood with Lot, Lot chose the plains. Let's assume Lot chose this drum set, this area. When God told Abraham to look to the north, told him, as far as you can see, huko, it's yours. To the south, as far as you can see, it's yours. Simply, that all, including everything that Lot imagined, is yours. The eyes of the Lord causes and see far than any of us can imagine. And God's plans for us are greater than any of us. Are you locked in limited thinking because you need to be humble or to look humble? Because people have told you you can never be anything. Or because you think now I have reached the best I could reach of myself. God is saying, lift up your eyes. My brother, Reverend Karaoke, lift up your eyes. You are retired but not tired. Lift up your eyes. As far as you can see, that is me calling you. Have you reached St. Andrews and you feel like this is the biggest I could ever serve the Lord? Yani. I remember a brother, a friend of mine from Delhi in Berlin, now a leader of one of the big sections of PwC. He gave a testimony one day and he told us, one time when I was in Delhi, all I prayed to God is, Lord, if you could just give me just a job where I will get $100 salary, I will not ask you for anything. I will have reached. Nitakuwa nimefika. And as he was giving the testimony, this is somebody, of course, who now earns many over $100. No longer in Delhi, you know, fighting among 30 million population in a city. But in Berlin, leading one of the multinationals, earning more than he could ever imagine. What am I saying? Many times we limit ourselves because we think the horizon is what we can see. Many of us are told the sky is the limit. But the sky is simply the horizon you can see. Are you limiting yourself as you think about your new season? Are you limited because of the past experiences? Lot was limited by the past experience. When he saw and he was being given an option, he remembered Egypt. How beautiful Egypt was. Oh, old beautiful Egypt. He remembered Sodom. Maybe he had been going there once in a while, you know, to have fun and, you know, enjoy his time. And he said, this is what I want. You go and suffer up the hill. But God had a bigger plan. Lift up your eyes, my brothers and sisters, and go forth. Lift your eyes out of the current problems. Sometimes we are so fixated in this problem. And you're like, this problem, the day I solve it. But God is saying, lift up your eyes. Why does it have to be a stumbling block and not a stepping stone? Why does it have to be an obstacle and not an opportunity as the Lord calls you? And therefore, God has a destiny for each of you, for each of us in this place. And he wants us to enjoy that destiny for his praise and for his glory. What is your destiny? Have you spent your time to ask God, God, what is it that you are calling me to do? Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ever think of or imagine according to his power in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. God is able. In your new season, let go and let God be Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verses number 11 tells us, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not for the swift, the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Amen. Time and chance happens to you as it happens to me. It happens to those you think have made it and those you think will never make it. I don't know where you place yourself. Time and chance happens. Nothing should limit what God has planted in you. Let the seed grow, because what you nurture, what you water grows, what you starve dies. It's a simple principle of life. Are you nurturing the desire to know God and be all for Him and serve Him? Or are you saying, I am not good, I can never do it? What you nurture, what you water, grows. You water defeat, defeat grows. You water discouragement, discouragement grows. You water hope, love, and every morning rising up and say, I am gonna be for the Lord today, even if I have no reason. Destiny. God has a destiny for each of us. Let your identity be in Him, your associations guided by Him, and you will not need to worry about your destiny, because God has your best plans in His hands. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You. We thank You this morning that You remind us that You have called us. You have called us to a new identity in Christ. You've called us, Lord God, to break off the old association and be associated with what brings praise and glory to Your name. You have called us, Lord, to a life with a destiny, a life with a purpose. And this morning, I want to pray, oh God, just like You called Abraham to be a blessing to the nations, Lord, may You cause in us a stirring, a desire, a longing, and a passion to be all for You. Lord, there are relationships, there are things we need to separate with, hatred, thoughts of discouragement that we need to separate with, Lord. And I pray that as we start this new season, we're going to seize the new joy of knowing the Lord. The new joy of knowing that You have a purpose and a plan for our lives. You're in this place and you are saying, I need prayer. I have not even made the decision that my identity be found in Christ. We want to pray with you this morning. But you could also be here and you're saying, I have been, but my identity is no longer in Christ. The passions and the desires of this world have since come in. Or you're in deep discouragement that the destiny that you know the Lord has called you for seems unlikely. Are you there and you want us to pray together? It is a great opportunity that when we come to the house of the Lord, we commit each other to prayer. I'm going to ask you to please lift up your hand. If you need prayer, and I'm going to ask my brother, Reverend Karaoke, to come so that we can pray together for all those that desire prayer. Just lift up your hand, brother, sister, and we shall pray together. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. The Lord sees them. Reverend Karaoke, please. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask Reverend Karaoke to commit those dear ones to the Lord. Father God, we want to thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for my brothers and sisters. The Lord God, you are calling us this morning like Abraham to rise, lift up our eyes and see what you have called us. See who we are in you and not what we have become. Lord, speak to us. And as my brother prays for the dear ones who have lifted up their hands, Lord, I pray that you will touch their hearts and their minds and restore them in Christ Jesus. Please.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for your word that has come to us through your servant, Dr. Abraham Rugo, in such a powerful, powerful manner, touching our hearts in a big way, touching our minds in a big way. Father, we pray that as we have heard your word so clearly put, challenging us on our identity and association and destiny, that God, you will touch every one of us this morning and help us to fully identify ourselves with you and all the things of God, to associate ourselves with Jesus Christ and righteousness and his righteousness, even as we continue in this life, and to have our minds having a destination of loving you, walking with you, and thinking of how we shall live with you in the eternity. God, we pray that you have mercy on all of us. And I thank you, dear Lord, for those who have bravely come out and put up their hands because they have a need. And they want you to touch them in various areas of their lives. God, I pray that as they have cried to you, you will hear their prayer and bless them and help them as we come to this new year to walk with you, identifying themselves with you, associating themselves with you and the things of God, and having fully in their minds the desire to walk with you all the way up to the end. Thank you, Lord, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.